My name is Dante Williams. I am 35 years old, and I'm here with my fellow advocate, Stephen.
Hi, my name is Stephen Kamnicki. I'm 59 years old, and I'm here with my fellow advocate, Dante Williams.
So, Stephen, it's nice to meet you, and I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with me today to kind of talk about a problem that's affecting Chicago and people across the country everywhere. I don't want to get into the details. I want to let you tell your own story. So, Stephen, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Chicago, when I was about 3 years old, lived right here in Humboldt Park, right on Potomac and Rockwell for a few years into my first few years of grade school here, and then I moved further north to the northwest part of the city. Pretty much right around sixth grade, I started getting high. You know, my peers, you know, in school, you know, I was hung around with the bad crowd, you know, and started actually sixth grade is when I got introduced to heroin and started injecting that. My very first experience with heroin was injecting it, and I just took it from there, and I've been running with that for all of my life. Early on in my heroin use, I contracted hepatitis C. And it had to be in probably early 70s, probably about 70, 71, 72 is when I caught hepatitis C. And as a result of that, I was drinking pretty heavily back then, hard liquor. And when I contracted hepatitis C, I got very ill. I ended up in the hospital. I was in the hospital, I'd say about 4 weeks. I was as jaundiced as you can get. I was yellow, my eyes were bloodshot. My urine looked like coffee. So, you know, I never missed a step in my addiction, though. I just kept on going. Once I got out of the hospital after the four weeks or so, I stepped right back into the addiction and just kept on going all my life with that. I've been in and out of prison 6 times. Always, even when I was locked up in downstate Illinois, I was still using. While I was incarcerated, coming out, right back into it again. I had always, most of my life, I maintained a good job. I was an automotive technician for 28 years, had my own business. The hepatitis C, it became an issue because, you know, I started finding out that as you get older, like my age, that's when it starts affecting you. That's when, you know, something you contracted 20 or 30 years ago, all of a sudden now that you reach a certain age, that's when you die of it, whatever complications with it. So through somebody I know, I got referred to a program I went to Loyola University Hospital. Mm-hmm. I got tested, and they told me that I was eligible for the Harvoni. Okay. And through that, I was able to get on Harvoni, and as I sit here now, I'm free of the hepatitis C. I got tested for the antibodies or whatever, however they test you, and I'm hepatitis C free.
So Steve, you know, with the doctors back then, you said when you first went to the hospital, it was in the 70s or the 80s?
It was in the 70s.
So in the 70s, at that point in time, did they recommend treatment? What did they recommend? Were they just...
No, they just shoved me in the hospital room and put me on a special diet, I think salt-free, mm-hmm. and kept me there about 4 weeks until I got better, you know, and then released me, and that was it. Nothing else was ever said of it.
You know, it just kind of strikes me. You said that they said it's going to lie dormant. So, you know...
They told me that much, yeah.
Knowing what we know now with hepatitis C doesn't go away. It doesn't go dormant. It's always there. It's always active. It's just working on you silently. So, it just kind of makes you think about how far we've come with medicine.
They had me believing that it's just sleeping in there, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and that I shouldn't really worry that much about it unless I go drinking heavily one day, and then it aggravates it again, and it wakes it up. So that was my assumption on the whole deal, and I never knew much more. I never bothered looking into anything besides that.
You know, it just wasn't you. It was that the whole medical field at that time. They didn't know much about hepatitis. Right. They were calling it 9A, 9B at that time.
In the meantime, I went ahead and I got vaccinated for the hepatitis B.
Okay.
You know, I guess when they test me, that shows as a vaccination. It shows that I have an active, whatever. However, they know that I had been vaccinated for the B virus. But the C was always there. I just got rid of it, as a matter of fact, in the latter part of last year.
That's amazing. So you've lived for over 30 years with that disease.
Oh, God, at least that. 72, 1892, shit, yeah, 35, 36 years, yeah, been a long time.
That's a long way. Now, you told me a little bit about how it's impacted you in terms when you were incarcerated. How did it impact you in the rest of your life?
In the rest of my life, it was always in the back of my mind, you know what I mean? Especially like when I'm using, you know. I don't think it had anything to do with me stopping drinking. What actually happened there was my father died of cirrhosis, you know, the liver thing. Mm-hmm. And when I found out he had it, by the time I got to the hospital, he was already in a coma. And by the time I was able to get there, and he was so blown up, like three times his size and jaundiced, and the only thing keeping him alive was the machines. And so in the back of my head, something triggered.
So still struggling with that, with the, you know, active use. What way has hepatitis C impacted the way you think about the heroin?
What it did is it made me very cautious, along with the scare with the AIDS epidemic, about using clean syringes, being that's the way I get high. Mm-hmm. You know, I inject my drugs. So it's made me very aware of sharing anything.
Now, coming from where you come from and being having went through what you went through, and knowing that our state is what it is in terms of getting people treated for hepatitis C, what type of changes would you like to see happen?
I'd like to see more advocacy on part of it, you know, get the word out there. So, but I think that a lot of more people need to become more aware of just how damaging and how life-threatening it is, you know, especially in my generation, you know.
What generation is that?
The baby boomers, you know, that's our generation, okay. You know, and it was a population explosion, you know, everybody was love, sex, and, you know, peace, love, and, you know,
right.
No boundaries, you know.
Well, you know, I definitely want to thank you for sharing your story with us. Is there anything else you want to tell to the listeners before?
Hang in there. Get some help. You know, go see a doctor. Take care of the problem. You'll feel a lot better. You'll live longer.
Well, thanks again for sharing your message. And, you know, we want to do everything we can to get this message out so we can help as many people as possible. And we really appreciate you stepping up to the plate and giving us your story.
Great.